My name is John Q. Public, and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America, and I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors, indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here, but since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we, the people, will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple, but this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience. Do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable.
You must figure I'm a real dangerous man.
And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are a storm.
Yes, we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 12th of September, and it's Monday. Hope everybody had a good, productive, fun weekend and safe and all that stuff. Looks like C7 had a little incident up there, but he made it back in time for the chat, so or for the show, so I guess it wasn't too bad. I'm glad you made it back. No problem there. A lot of stuff going on. Wow, it's been a productive weekend. I guess everybody saw saw Hillary just about collapse yesterday, or did collapse, I guess. She was standing out there and about to get into one of her limousine or whatever it was, a Secret Service SUV, and she just pretty much dropped. They were right there and caught her. So this really begs a lot of questions here. Are they going to make her drop out? Is she going to voluntarily drop out? Is she still in the hospital? Who are they going to put in place of her? What's that going to do to Trump? What's that going to do to the election overall? Are they going to postpone the election? There's so many things that could happen here. And, boy, I told you one. Yeah, Minnie. Yeah, maybe that was a hearse. That was a good one. Yeah, it was. I've told you for the last several months that this is going to be a very, very interesting year and the most interesting election in the history of our country. And I think it just got more so. I wasn't even counting on this, so we'll see what happens. I can't imagine that they would try to get Bernie Sanders. Yeah, let's say Bernie Sanders in there. I can't even imagine them attempting that. I would imagine that if she is forced out or drops out or kicks the bucket or whatever happens, that I would think that Joe Biden would probably be the next best choice to put in there. And Joe Biden is not going to be any better than she is, although he is not as evil. He's stupid. He's rabidly anti-gun, so in that regard, we're not going to get anything better out of him. But he's dumber than a sack full of hammers, so he'll definitely be. Everything he does will be, he'll be guided by someone else because he's not smart enough to make up his mind on anything. However, he did write a large portion of the original assault weapons ban, so that can't be any good for us. But anyway. Well, it does look like she has Parkinson's. I watched a couple of videos, and one doctor really laid this out. Matter of fact, if we have time, I may even play that. It'll be... You'll get the benefit out of it, even though you can't watch the video, just by listening to him. So we may get around to that later. We've got a lot of stuff to do, so we'll get into that. I'll tell you what I've done. I've spent a lot of time here the last. Pardon me for clearing my throat here. I don't know what's going on. Amy's had the same problem, and maybe what we had for dinner before before we came in, but.
What I've done, I have painstakingly taken 840 radio shows, 800, I think it's 840 even, I'm not sure, 840 something, and put them on one flash drive. I got one 32 gig flash drive, and I have put the entirety of Just Measures, all the shows that I did while on the Just Measures radio network, from the one we did in May in the little cafe in the middle of nowhere in, where was that, Eureka, Nevada, and the one we did in Moab, Utah, and the several other ones. Every show that I did that I have, obviously there was a few shows that didn't get recorded, you know, over the period of the last couple of years, we've probably, it's been more than a couple of years, hell, it's been 6 years, hasn't it? But so obviously there's been a few lost, but there's still around 850 shows on there. Before I get them all, put them out, I'll have a little bit more details on the CDs as we get them out. I mean, come with the flash drive. I'll probably put a little package in there with the history of the shooting bench and a little bit of commentary on what everything's about there. Now, if you were to plug this into your computer, obviously you'll be able to see the titles and dates of every show. If you put it in your little, like I've got this little deal in my truck there where I can just plug in a flash drive there and listen to oodles and gobs. So there are hundreds of hours of shooting bench on this flash drive. And a lot of stuff you can do with them. So we're going to put those out. They're going to be ready by the end of this week. And we're going to sell them for $50. Now that's, if I made CDs with all these shows on there, you would pay, how many could we get on a CD? Probably, what, 20 maybe? 20, 25 shows, something like that. Depends on the CD, I guess. But that being the case, and that much extra work put into it, we'd probably sell those for, you know, $12, $15 a piece or something like that. So the, what would that be? If we could, let's say, even if we got 100 shows, there would be at least 8 of them. And, so that would be 8 if we sold them for $10. I doubt if we could do them for $10. It'd probably be at least 15. But anyway, it could get up into quite a bit of money. So these flash drives will be yours to do with whatever you want. Of course, the stuff is copyrighted on there, but you'll have to let your conscience be your guide. There will be nothing on there that will prevent you from making your own CDs with them if you want. And so that's why we're trying to... now, what this does, we're asking to do this. Our donate button rarely gets used up there. Rarely, like I mean damn rarely. But we're going to need a little help here to keep the shooting bench and Survival Circle Radio Network going. And I'm going to need to get another computer here pretty quick. And we've got a lot of stuff going on. We've got the podcasts. We've got the website. We've got all of this stuff. And so all of these are on there. Now, pretty soon, when all this gets underway and I get ahead on these, I'll do another one with all of the Survival Circle shows on it. And that started, there won't be near as many. As a matter of fact, I'll probably wait until after the first of the year. Or maybe sometime around, yeah, about the first of the year, because that way we'll have an even, what? When did we start that? It was just before Christmas of 2014. So we can have 2 years worth if we do them towards the end of the year. Radio Doc, all the shows that we did from TJ's Diner, a lot of those, if not all of them, will be on some CDs here, and I'm hoping I can get those out. I've got a good many. Let's see, how many have I got? I think I have 2000 and I don't remember. I've got 3 or 4 years, something like that, of the old AM radio shows. I've got those on some other CDs, and I'm putting those together. I also have another guy up in Wyoming who is working on some CDs for me of just, I don't even know how many he's doing. He's been working on it for a long time. So I'm really anxious to get those, but he's got a lot going on up there, so we will wait patiently and let him get it done in his own good time. I don't want to rush him and have him take shortcuts and try to hurry. So anyway, we're going to get a lot of the shooting bench shows out for the public, and what that's going to do to help me a little bit. I'm going to get about 1,000 shows off of my computer, and that might help speed it up a little bit. The C7, yeah, when we did those from TJ's Diner, if you guys, we was an AM radio, we did quite a few shows for a few months at a diner in Farmington, New Mexico. We literally went in there and set up in the mornings. The radio station went up there and set up their stuff, and I went in with my material, and we sat right there in the diner and talked to folks, and you could hear dishes clanking and people talking in the background, and it was just a hell of a lot of fun. And we've got all of those on a CD, so I'm going to work on trying to get those out here over the next few weeks or maybe a few months and have those available for everybody. But by the end of this week, the All of Just Measures will be available for $50, 840 some shows. The complete shows, unedited, from beginning to end. All the ones we did from St. Louis, from Indiana, from Shamrock, Texas, from the one in Moab. I can't even remember all the places we did. Idaho. I don't even remember where we did a lot of them on the road. So anyway, let me know. I don't have them on the website yet. I do not have them on the online store, but I will have probably within the next, this coming weekend. I may have time to get them on this coming weekend. So by next week, they should be on the online store. So, all right, let's move on. That's enough of that, man. We got lots of stuff to go over here. I just saw this one just before the show started, and I haven't even read it yet. But the title kind of caught my attention. This was in California, so obviously that's going to be something wrong with it right off the bat. California woman was engaged in a custody battle with her estranged husband is facing charges after she enlisted the help of her range instructor to kill the husband. Diana Lovejoy took shooting lessons from Weldon McDavid, who is employed at the Iron Sight Shooting Range in Oceanside, California. Authorities say she and McDavid planned an ambush for a month before it was attempted and failed. Why is somebody singing on my show?
I is for.
Go away. Thank you. Now where was I? Oh, attempted and failed. This execution was attempted on September 1st. The woman made arrangements for a late night meeting with her husband. The man was hiding in some nearby bushes and shot the husband in what was described as an ambush style shooting. Police were called just after 11 p.m. and the husband was rushed to a hospital. He survived, and both Lovejoy was the woman's name, and McDavid were captured. Each faced charges for attempted murder and conspiracy, being held on $2 million bond. If convicted, Lovejoy faces 25 years in prison, McDavid faces 50 years to life because he's the one that pulled the trigger. So there you have it. You know, we're having there's so many things going on. Every once in a while we'd see a story like this, something similar to this, and it just seems that the you guys remember from back during my AM radio days, we talked then about the degradation of society, about the values or lack of in society, in mankind, and all the stuff that's going on here. And this is just another indication of it. And another one would be, and it's because of these idiot football players, the ones that have, you know, it's monkey see, monkey do. We had the one guy that did it, and then all of a sudden there's a few more tried it, and then a few more. Well, the Seahawks were, you know, what they decided to do wasn't immensely better than what they had planned to begin with. They'd planned to set out the national anthem, to boycott or protest the national anthem and the flag. And, of course, they caught everlasting hell from the public for even talking about that. Well, they changed their mind. They said, well, we're all going to get together and we're going to do a wonderful thing. Well, they all joined arms, locked arms together, and stood for the national anthem like they were showing some form of unity there. And in one way, I guess it's okay, kind of. But the people that did want to put their hand over their hearts and do what they were supposed to do were prevented from doing it because everybody had to do this. So, it's better. But anyway, they played the Dolphins, and the Dolphins had decided that they had four players that were going to go ahead and protest there and set it out, the national anthem. So the Seahawks were the ones that didn't, and they beat the Dolphins, who were the ones that were. So that was a good thing. But as so often happens, you remember when, what was the guy's name? Tebow, not Tebow from Farmington, New Mexico, but Tebow, the football player. What was his first name? I forgot. I don't remember, but anyway, you know, he took a knee and said a little private prayer and everything every time they won or every time they started a game or whatever it was. He got in trouble for that, which was astounding to me. It was disappointing. It was heartbreaking. And they had some young high school football players, junior high football players, that copied him, that took after him and took a knee. Whether they actually prayed or not or was just going through the motions, I don't know. But that was a good thing. So, you know, the football player, they look up to these guys. They look up to these professional players. Well, if he's doing it, it must be cool, so that's what we are. So high school players across the country now had planned to take a knee and set out the national anthem, which was unbelievable to me. And they should all be very proud that I'm not their coach. And because I would probably be fired as their coach, but I'll guarantee you one thing: as long as I was there, there would be I would however many of them did that, I'd send them. And if it wasn't enough to play the game, we'd just forfeit the game. Sorry about that, guys. You made your choice. That's the way it would be. At Wagner High School in Louisville, Kentucky, a player took a knee as his teammates stood alongside him. A number of players had taken a knee as the team lined up, but eventually rose as the music started playing. Coach Jordan Johnson said the team will take steps before next week's game to ensure our young men can make a stand for social injustice while at the same time not showing what is perceived as disrespect. So, yeah, we'll see how that works out. The many players at the Maury High in Norfolk, Virginia, took a knee behind the end zone when the anthem was played. Others stood at attention, as did the coaches. Our school system has said we're of the belief we let our guys do what they believe in. And so we didn't make an issue of it. And if they believe in a cause, that's fine. I stand behind what they believe in, but I'm going to do what I believe in. And that's fine. You can't send them to jail for it, but I can set them on the bench for it. Yeah, you guys can do whatever you want. And you want to sit down, you can sit on that bench right there and watch everybody play football. That'd be just fine. Auburn. Auburn High in Rockford, Illinois. A number of players took a knee during the anthem while their teammates stood with their hands over their hearts. This is a huge problem. However, that is not the end of it. There was a high school in Flint Township, Michigan, I guess. They were talking about Colin Kaepernick or whatever his name is that set out the national anthem while in uniform. Well, a freshman football team in Flint Township had just the opposite experience, and I have got to take my hat off to these kids when the... Oh, stop. I didn't ask for that. There you go. Go away. Thank you. When the football team was told by the host team announcer that the national anthem would not be played before the game, they knew that they could not go out on the field without respecting the flag. The members of the football team took a bold stance on the sidelines and started to sing despite there being no music. Eddie L. McKendall, the school superintendent, said, like most schools in the state of Michigan, we choose to play the national anthem prior to the highest level of competition. Therefore, the national anthem was planned to be played prior to the junior varsity game later that evening. Kendall made a point to explain that this common decision in many communities in no way any form of protesting that they will refuse to play the national anthem. So anyway, it wasn't planned. Now obviously they normally do, because these kids had just out of habit went out there and lined up and did this exactly as they normally do, except there was no music. So they found that they weren't playing the national anthem before the game, so they first thought that there was some kind of a technical problem with the sound system, so out of habit they all lined up, and once they were informed there would be no music, they just sung anyway. The head coach said, I've been with these kids for 3 years now. They're just an awesome group of kids. It makes me incredibly emotional, and I don't usually get emotional. So that's cool. I'm glad to see that. It was excellent. All right. Well, I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break here. And when we get back, we'll see if we can find something else to mumble about here. If I can get everything going. Come on. Giddy up. There we go. There we go. No, really. There we go. Yep. It'll be new computer time here. Revenue is too. Searching for a place where he made his groove. They were looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept on cooking. White lightning. And right away I knew that my eyes bugged out and my face turned blue. Lightning started flashing, thunder started clashing.
Why did I do?
Well, the T-Men, revenue is too. Searching for a place where he made his brew. They were looking, trying to book him, but my path they kept on cooking.
Why did I do?
Morning as he hit the ground. Mighty, mighty pleasing, your pappy's corn's pleasing.
White lightning.
The G-Men, T-Men, revenue is too. Searching for a place where it made you through. They were looking, trying to book him, but my pappy kept on cooking.
White lightning.
Agree. Our freedoms are waning and we'll lose our liberty. Slipping one by one until there's nothing left to see. Are you willing to stand with me? Are you just going to let it be? The ranchers are first, but brother, next it may be me. We all stand together or we'll hang separately. Are you going to the tree? Are you willing to be free? It won't get any easier to regain lost liberty. Strange things are happening in this land that once was free. So, brother, I ask you, are you going to stand by me?
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. And we're back. Now I need to check and see here. Hey, Mama Grizzly with us. Glad you joined us. Always good to see you in here. Let's see, I don't know what. What are we talking about here? Old Summit Inn. I got a... Mama Grizzly says, I don't know. Do you? Cope does. All right, I'm going to have to back up here and see whatever we see what's going on here. See what it is that I'm supposed to know. Because I don't know very much, but I'm supposed to know something here. Not sure what it is. Oh, well, anyway... Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I know Mama Grizzly. Of course I know Mama Grizzly. What was I going to say now? Got all Twitter-pated here and forgot what I was... Got my tongue over my eye teeth and couldn't say what I was saying. Couldn't see what I was saying. We've got these classes coming up on the 16th of... this month, next Friday, as a matter of fact, already. Wow. Coming up in Snowflake, I've got a disaster communications class coming up and also a community emergency response class. So I'm both on the same day, 8 to noon for the communications class and 1 to 5 for the other one.
and those will be held at the what used to be the Comfort Inn in Snowflake. It is now called America's Best. Let me go find out here. I forgot what they call it. Let me bring this up here real quick. But it's in Snowflake. It's right beside the dollar store there. It is America's Best Value Inn. It's a nice motel. They got a nice spa and a indoor swimming pool and everything. It's at 2055 South Main Street in Snowflake. These classes are $25 a piece for 4 hours of, and that may not be limited to 4 hours, especially the second class. There's a lot of questions in that second class, so we may wind up going over a little bit. But anyway, now one thing that I was going to do today, Snowman asked a question the other night, and I believe it was Friday. And I never did get around to it. Let me check and see. Let me check and see if Snowman's still in the chat room here. Yeah, he's still there. Hopefully he's listening there. Snowman had asked about getting licensed for ham radio. Now, we've talked about this a number of times. Obviously, Snowman wasn't here for it, so I think it is an important discussion. It's up to you whether you think it's important to get one or not, but I think it is an important discussion. We won't spend a lot of time on it, but it is something that we need to take just a minute for. So, Snowman, it is not difficult to get your license at all. It used to be a little tougher because you used to have to learn Morse code, and it's a really a good thing that we didn't have to do that this time because I still wouldn't have my license. But I think it is. There's some downsides to it, and if you want to call them that, if you get your license, your name will be put on the FCC's website, and if somebody gets your call sign, they just put it in there, and they can find out your name and address. And everybody freaks out. Oh, well, you can't be having that. Well, most of us are in the damn phone book, so what difference does it make? Your name and address is in the phone book, too. And name and address is probably in a dozen things on the Internet. So I don't know that that's a, for some people, that's a deal breaker. It was not a deal breaker for me. When we look at risk versus reward, I think that the reward for having the being able to practice and get set up and everything and do it legally without fear of getting thrown in jail over it or having to pay a bunch of fines was worth more to me than worrying about whether my name was out there. And Mama Grizzly's absolutely right. If your name isn't already on the list somewhere, you're not doing your job. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's I've said that in many of my public speeches that I've done, and I mean it. If they don't know who you are, then you're probably not doing what you ought to be doing. Yeah, I'm a proud member of the basket of deplorables here. Yeah, how stupid was that? But anyway, Snowman, to get your permit, your license, what you're going to need to do is you got to take a little test, and it's not a hard test at all. And what I'm going to try to talk you out of doing is spending a bunch of time studying for that test. Don't study for it. I want you to get up on a website called hamexam.org, hamexam.org, hamexam.org. And you'll take sample tests on there. Those sample tests are worded exactly like the real test, same format, same punctuation, same answers, same order, same, everything. So it doesn't matter whether you get any of the questions right when you first do it. It doesn't matter if you get many of them right when you second do it. But you just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep taking those tests. And by visual association, pretty soon you're just going to see a question pop up and you're just going to click A, B, C, or D because it looked just like it did, last time you saw it. It's simple. you should be able to, in you know, 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that, you should be able to take that test. Or, you know, and a lot of people can't, because you're busy and got other things going on, then, you know, it may take you a little longer because you don't have the, you know, the time, spare time to do it or whatever the case may be. But it is really simple to do that. And once you start making consistently, start getting 80% on those tests, then you find a place that is that does the testing. Testing will cost you probably $15, and it takes 20 minutes of your time to go in there and take this little test. And once you get that, if you pass the test, then pretty soon, just a few days, week or so, 10 days, you'll see your name on the website, and shortly after that, you'll get your license in the mail. Now, once you see your name on the website, you are legal to talk on the radio. Not until then. Just because you've taken the test and passed it, you cannot talk until you know what your call sign is, and then you can talk on the radio. Shortly after that, you'll get your license in the mail. And as soon as you get that license, what you can turn around and go back on the FCC website, and you can apply for a vanity call sign like I did. My call sign is K1LFA. Obviously, most of you know LFA stands for Liberty for All. So you go on this website and you get on this form, and you've got probably, I don't remember what it was, 40 or 50 choices of call signs. You write them on there in the order that you want them in. If your first one's not available, they'll go to the second one, so on and so forth, down to the end of the, until they find one that isn't taken. And the only reason my call sign didn't flow very well, I didn't like it. It was, what was it? I've got it around here somewhere. I think it was KG7VUV, if I remember right. Kilo Golf 7 Victor Uniform Victor. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. So it didn't flow. I didn't like it. It took too much time. I couldn't even remember it half the time. So I right away on July 1st of 2015, it was the 1st or the 31st? I think it was the 1st. That was when the FCC did away with the having to pay for your vanity call sign, and they were free. So I stayed up till midnight that night, Eastern time, so that wasn't too big a deal. And as soon as the clock struck 12, then I sent in my form for what I wanted. No, Bright Angel, you cannot be 1BA. There's certain things, has to be a certain amount of letters and numbers, and they'll tell you whenever you do it. You'll see the guidelines there to get your vanity call sign. But anyway, I put mine in at midnight, and just a little while later, I got the verification that it was approved. So I am now K1LFA. So that's easy to remember. It flows pretty good. You can say it fast and still not get tongue-tied, and people can understand it easily. So getting your ham license is a lot of fun. I can, and with these little cheap Bofang radios, I can reach a repeater easily from here. And once I reach that repeater, I can talk all over the state. Yes, Mountain Shooter, that's what it is. If I reach that repeater, it is in a system here in Arizona that has something like 15 repeaters in it, and I can literally talk almost every corner of the state. And I sat here and talked to people from Tucson all the time. I talked to guys at the same time, in the same conversation, I talked to a guy from from Payson, one from Star Valley, and one from Tucson, and I was here in Sholo. So we covered a pretty wide area of the state to just visiting. So, but my biggest deal here right now, it's more important to me. I don't really care about just the visiting. I do that on my CB. I don't care. I've got CB and ham both in my truck. And I don't care about that. But I wanted to be able to get proficient. I wanted to be able to know the limitations of my radio. I want to be able to know some people around the state and whatnot. And I could probably sneak a little bit of talking by without getting a license, but I'm just not willing to. Like I said, I don't really care whether or not anybody knows my name. Everybody, you know, it's not too hard to figure that out anyway. So it was important to me to be able to get proficient with the radio. Here pretty soon, hopefully I'm going to get into high frequency. And that's going to change a whole lot of stuff for me, and I'm going to have to learn all over again. But, you know, all you need to do, your first license you're going to have to get is your technician license. Once you get your technician, if you want to go ahead and go for the next step up, you know, go for it. But at least get your technician. And that's one you can learn on. There's a lot of different frequencies, areas that you can go with your technician. And it's enough. All of your 2 meter stuff and... I don't even remember all the rest of them. 2 meter is probably the most popular. But at any rate, I could, I guess, bring that up real quick just in case anybody's interested. I could let you know just right away here what all that technician license covers. Let's see, 6 meter, 2 meters, 1.25 meters, 70 centimeters, 33 centimeters. Little bit of the 10 meter band. And you can get into Morse code on 15 meter and 40 meter and 80 meter. So there's, and that's just getting your technician license. Then when you get into... get your general, then you open up a whole bunch more stuff. I've got my general, and I have no intention of getting any higher than that. I don't care. I don't want it. I'm not the least bit interested in that. But this allows me, opens up a vast, vast network of operators around the country, and certainly throughout the state, that will be beneficial to me and my group when the balloon goes up. It's going to open up a lot of avenues here and a lot of new friends and groups and allies, I think, through some of the meetings and associations that we make here through ham radio. And I've already begun to do that, and I think it's a great thing. Matter of fact, I went down to Tucson here a month or so ago and helped out. I don't know how much help it was, but I tried anyway. And trying to get a really, really neat group of people down there to, you know, most of them had their radios and stuff and had a good idea of what was going on. And I spent a little time with them doing several other things down there. It was a lot of fun, and I made some good friends down there, I think, and certainly some allies when and if the time comes. So anyway, well, that's just it's one of the risks we take there, LB San. It's one of those things. It just comes with the territory. All right, let me check incoming news here right quick. Okay, that can wait. All right, let's move right along here. We've got other things. We've got places to go, people to see, and things to do. Oh, by the way, I talked to you guys the other night about gun-friendly alternative to Facebook. It's called Weapons Feed. I don't know how many of you checked that out, but I want to caution you about this. I went ahead and signed up, but as soon as I did, and I think because I sent them a scathing email, maybe other people did too, but the problem has kind of receded here, and that was a lot of junk mail that I was getting. And I got it literally the day that I signed up for Weapons Feed. Seems like it's a pretty neat site, and it's in beta testing right now, and you're going to have to get an invitation to sign up and all of that. So, and that's to be expected. I don't have a problem with that. But I was so ticked at them for putting that email list out there. So what I did was I sent them, I said, I unsubscribed from their email list, and I told them what was going on and why and how long it took me to clean up my that particular email address. I've got one email address that I use just for stuff like that, so if I ever have to abandon it, I'll just click two buttons and it's gone, and all history of it will be gone with it. So I don't care. But it still ticked me off. But it has virtually stopped now after I got unsubscribed from their email list and sent them a note. So so I think if you have the option to not sign up for their email list, I think that would probably be the best thing to do. Or if not, well, then unsubscribe the very first email you get, because that seemed to stop after that. You know, one of the things that happens here, and I've talked to so many people about this. When you forward emails, I don't care how well you know the people. I don't care how long you've been with them, how much you trust them. It doesn't matter. If they're all, even if it's all family, always put multiple recipients under BCC. Always, always, always. I don't care. There are no exceptions to that. And I tell you, here's what happens. You say, yeah, okay, yeah, I know all these people, you know, and all that. It's okay. They all have each other's address. I get that. I've been there, done that. But what happens is all of these good-natured, good-meaning, well-intentioned people will forward an email, and they'll either forget to take all the other email addresses off of it, or they'll say, "Well, I know Aunt Harriet. You know, she's a good gal. She wouldn't, you know, she's not going to send a bunch of stuff to these people. Well, Aunt Harriet is going to forward it to everybody in the Bridge Club." Because she got a kick out of it, because it was a joke or a meme or a story that she thought everybody would like. So now everybody in the Bridge Club has your entire group's email address. Addresses. All of them. So if there's more than one person, meaning two, if there's more than one person on an outgoing email, put them under BCC. BCC cannot be copied from the other side. Don't put them under CC. Carbon copy, that can be copied on from the other side. All that does is give you a place to put a bunch of additional addresses there. Put them under BCC, blind carbon copy, or blind, I think it's carbon copy, whatever it is. So that when it arrives at its destination, there is no additional... there is no one can get the email addresses. So if you send any emails out to anyone for any reason, always put all your recipients under BCC. Whether you forward the emails or you initiated the email or you received it from someone else, and you, well, I guess that'd still fall under forwarding it. If you put everything under BCC, there will never be an accident. Somebody will say, oh, damn, I forgot to take that off of there. Well, if you put it under BCC, you don't have to worry about it because it won't be there. And it won't accidentally eventually get to somebody that's trying to market something and they sell it to a list somewhere and pretty soon the whole damn world has all your email addresses. So that's my story and I'm sticking to it. Okay. Let me get back over here to my stuff. We were talking about weapons feed last deal. You know, that's Facebook is, they have been very, not very gun friendly. If you're doing it just for the social aspect of it, then, you know, who cares? If you're doing it for a particular business deal, you know, you can get around it. So if you're doing it to, you know, to sell guns or talk about guns, yeah, they do sometimes, delete some of your stuff. But some of us depend on Facebook. You know, there was MySpace for a while, and there's Google Plus and some of these other and LinkedIn and some of these other places, but none of them have nearly the exposure that Facebook does. And I'm still surprised at how many won't do Facebook because they're worried about their privacy. You know, that's entirely up to you. If you're dumb enough to put everything for the whole world to see on there and the whole world sees it, that's not Facebook's problem. What you don't want people to see, don't put on Facebook. Don't put addresses. Don't put email addresses. Don't put phone numbers. Don't put names. Don't put pictures of your kids. Don't put your home address or your post office box number. Don't put any pictures of yourself. Use a different name if you want. You can still talk to your friends and the people that know you using a different handle. It does need to appear like it's a real name, or Facebook will call you down on that too. But so far, they haven't asked for proof of who you are. So if you're worried about your privacy, folks, it is as simple as not putting anything on there that you don't want other people to see. That way you say, oh, yeah, date of birth. That's another one, Mountain Shooter. Social Security numbers, obviously. Where you work. Names of your kids. You know, all this kind of stuff. That doesn't keep you from socializing with family members and people that you work with and making new friends and learning things and seeing events and seeing the stuff that Southwest Shooting Authority is doing and whatever the case may be, without putting anything out there that anybody can identify you with. It's that simple. I see so many people, and I've seen some very well-intentioned, I was going to say older ladies, but I've seen the older men do it too. And, you know, just friendly, outgoing, just wanting to have fun, enjoying the new deal here, and just putting all kinds of crap on there that is identifying. And I spend, you know, quite a bit of time just with people that I know, sending them private messages and saying, you know, you might want to consider doing that differently, you know, and not putting that stuff out there. And then I have to go through the whole thing as to, well, what can happen to it and who would do that and what would happen if they did and all that. But I do it because I hate to see these people get taken advantage of. I hate to see them, you know, their life savings taken or their identity stolen or whatever the case may be. So I do spend time doing that. And there's been a few people up in northern Arizona, way far north Arizona, that have had a little bit of issue with that. And I finally got them all squared away and got them on to, you know, secure communications and stuff. And I think they're on the right track now. And I've done that with my family and a lot of friends and groups that I associate with and stuff. So, It's a never-ending battle, and I would encourage you guys all to do the same. When you see people out there that are putting out a little more information than what they really need to, just and don't get on their timeline, on their page, whatever, and chastise them about it. Send them a private message and say, you know, here's the kind of thing you. They have automatic email harvesters out there that if you put your full address in the regular email address format, these automatic harvesters can and will find it, and you'll get on an additional list that you don't want to be on, which is another reason not to forward emails to people with email addresses on it. If you want to send an email address out, you can put, COPE at, instead of putting the at sign, put a space and type out at, A-T, Hotmail, and then put dot.com. You know, cope at hotmail.com. That's a fictitious address if you plan on sending me something, but that way the automatic email harvesters will not recognize that, and you're safe. So as long as nobody else then puts it on Facebook or whatever, then you'll be all right. That's right, Radio Doc. And nobody wants to steal my identity or yours either. We ain't got any money. We don't have any land. We don't own anything. We spend all of our time doing other stuff. So, yeah, nobody wants our identity. That's the last thing in the world I'm really worried about here. So, anyway, Snowman, we got a little off track. I hope that answered your questions. And I think what we'll do here, since we're in the business of answering questions and doing stuff, I think we'll go to a little break here, and then I'll be back here. So stay with me. Turning further.
see. I'm just out off about San Antonio with a radio blasting and the bird dog on. There's a beat traveling my head sound of town. No local yoga gonna shut me down. Cause me and my boys got the trigger wound and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar town.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a jet guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. And we're back. I guess you've seen, we were talking about the football players a while ago, I guess you saw that Brandon Marshall with the Broncos, the only one, the only dork out of the whole bunch that took a knee during the national anthem. Well, he has lost yet another endorsement. So there, I don't know. I don't understand that. It irks me to death. But whatever. Yes, they do have a constitutional right to do it. I understand that. But it don't mean I have to like it. It don't mean I have to support them. So. There's the Seattle Seahawks coach. Well, I think I told you this the other day, Doug Baldwin. He says that our team will honor the country and the flag. There was another one there that said, I don't remember what team he was with, said, if you're going to set this one out, you're going to set out the whole game. So that was cool. Let me see if this, let me see which one this is here. There's something I wanted to play for you. I hope this is it. I hope that there's not any language in this. I saved several of them for you. I mean, there's no question that this guy is a Class A 14-carat retard here, but I don't remember if there's any bad language. I will try to shut it off immediately and apologize ahead of time, but let's find out.
Let's go to Boca Raton, Florida. She's on the other side,
oh, no,
Joe, in
good.
Boca Raton. Welcome. You say the Arizona law is wrong. Is that correct?
Yes. I think it's absolutely racist that they're telling the illegal aliens that they can't come into Arizona. They can do what they want to. I mean, we're America. We have to have open...
Wait. You're saying too many things at once. They're saying what?
That we need
Wait, ma'am. Are you aware of the fact that a country has... borders? Are you aware of that?
I'm saying that we need to get rid of our borders so we can welcome all forms and walks of life.
Of course, you're pulling my leg.
I'm serious. Just look at how your ancestors got here.
Well, they didn't come here illegally. Maybe yours did. How did yours get here? Did they come here illegally?
I don't know, but they got over here somehow, and now.
Well, apparently they pulled from the lowest level of the gene pool from where you came from. That you don't even know how a nation is defined. How many people do you think this country could sustain with open borders? Is there a limit, an upper limit in your mind?
I think we could sustain so many people because there's. Capitalism.
I said how many? How many people are in America today? How many millions?
600 million.
Oh my God. Oh, boy, we're in trouble, aren't we? So you just guessed at that, I could see, because that's not the correct number. Okay, we'll give you another chance. How many people do you think the United States of America could sustain if we had no borders and anybody could just enter the country? How many people?
We need to put limits on people's income because people are making way too much money and they need to...
So in other words, it's not the number of people here, it's the amount of money people are making.
Yes, it's the greed in America. We need to spread
it
out.
I see. How much money do you make a year, Joe?
Nothing. Right now I'm on a welfare check, but that doesn't matter anymore.
Ah, you're on a welfare check. That's why you're so benevolent with other people's money. So you're telling men like me who work for a living, who pay your welfare check, that I should be limited in how much I make so you can make more money doing nothing?
Well, I think that you don't pay my welfare check. I think Obama pays my welfare check.
Wait, what do you mean? Obama pays it out of his pocket? Where does Obama get the money from, Joe?
I don't know his stash. I don't know where he gets it. But the main thing is...
What do you mean you don't know where he gets it from? It's called the public treasury. Where does the money come from into the public treasury, Joe?
Illegal aliens who work for a living and then they pass the money to the government.
Joe, you're a very sick person. I really pity you, Joe. And you never should have been able to get on the show because a man wants to find hell as a place where there is no reason. And you just dragged me into hell, Joe.
I'll just leave that right there with you. Let's just leave it right there. Unbelievable. Oh, well, you know, there are people like that. You find one every once in a while. And unfortunately, these people breed and create more just like them. And it's a little bit troublesome, no doubt about it. Oh, well, I don't know what we're going to do about it. No, I've got a... I'm trying to get a new, I'm looking at, thinking about trying to build a 22 Magnum. I wanted the Ruger 1022M, the 1022 Magnum, so bad before they discontinued them. They discontinued them because they were having problems with them. And I want to try to, the problem is not insurmountable. Who is it? Is it IMI? No. Shoot, I can't think of who the other company is that has one. They use the same magazines and everything. They're expensive, though. They're about, you know, they're $800-$900. And I just cannot say enough good about this 22 Magnum. C7's a 22 Magnum fanatic out there. I don't know if he's still with us or not. Not AMT. AMT did make 22 Magnum pistols, Yakima Glock. And AMT Arcadia Machine and Tool has long since bit the big one and went under. So... it's unfortunate because they had some pretty decent guns, but there's, I had a guy walk in. I had one at the store when I first took over the store in 2004, early in 2004. I had an AMT in there. It was a long slide 45 and had a pretty good price on it because I knew they were desirable, you know, for collectors. And a guy walked in the door one day and didn't ask to see it, didn't care. He just said, I'll take it. Looking at it through the glass, didn't even touch it. He said, put it in a box, I'll take it with me. And he didn't haggle about the price, he just took it and went. So I actually bought one when I was in Europe. I bought a 1911 that was AMT. And I think it was a long slide. I believe it was. You know, it may have been the 22 Magnum. I can't remember which one it was. But anyway, with all of the stuff that went on, trying to get out of there, and I was going to be late leaving. You know, if I had some kind of trouble with the Rod and Gun Club of getting that gun out of there, and I don't remember what the problem was. That was just too long ago. But anyway, I wound up having to to leave it, and the guy sent me a check for it, you know, later on when I got back to the States. But I kind of wish I'd have made, put a little bit more effort into it and brought the gun back with me. But anyway, back to my 22. Now, I tell you what, I wish that Ruger would come out with a Mark II that shot 22 Magnum. I would give up at least one of my Glocks and maybe two to have, maybe three. I don't know. I would love to have a Mark II Ruger and a 22 Magnum. But for those of you that are still kind of up in the air over what kind of gun to get, I never did like the 22-45 Yakima Glock. I don't like the grip angle of it. I don't like the new loaded chamber indicators on the 22-45s. There's several things I don't like about them. I'd rather have one of the old Mark IIs, or even a Mark III. I'm not a big fan of the Mark IIIs. But I could stand the Mark IIs. I mean, I could stand the Mark IIIs. I would love to have a Mark II. I have two 6 7/8 inch Mark IIs right now, 6 7/8 inch target barrels, and both those damn things shoot like a rifle. I mean, they're excellent, excellent guns. And then I also have one or two 4 inch Mark IIs. Anyway, who all has lost sound? Do we have anybody there that has sound? It looks like Bright Angel and Mountain Shooter lost sound. How about the rest of you? If one of you has sound, all of you should have sound. I don't see any response here. How about it? Do we have sound there now? Let me check the recording. All right, recording's going now. One more time. Let's check. 5x5 kilogram says. Okay. Well, I don't know how many people we lost there because the sound went out, but I did manage to figure out what it was. So, I love that show, Radio Doc. Yeah. All right, let's get back to, we were talking again about the 22 Magnum. I don't want to spend it or waste a lot of you guys' time on it because we've talked about it so many times. But for the, some of the ones that are new and haven't been with us when we've talked about it, I just want to express to you that the 22 Magnum will do just about anything that you think you're big enough to do in North America. I have killed a lot of deer with 22 Magnum. I killed that bear the other night with 22 Magnum. Well, the other night, it was what, 3 months ago. They're flat shooting, you know, compact. There's a whole lot of bang for your buck in a 22 Magnum. The problem is finding the ammunition. Right now, it's a little tough to find. You can't reload it, so that's a little bit of a problem. If you're like some people I know that have stocked up, you know, a little bit over the years, I wish I had done more. I've got a pretty good supply, but not nearly as much as I'd like to have. I would like to have, if I could have a good, reliable semi-automatic rifle, and I've got a couple of damn nice bolt-action 22 Magnums. I've got a single action revolver in 22 Magnum. If I just had a good, reliable semi-automatic rifle with a good supply of magazines, I would be tempted to give up other guns for that just because of the compactness of the ammunition. The light recoil, less noise. They penetrate exceedingly well for their size, and it's just a great gun. And it's probably not what I'd want to my first choice to go into battle with, but if I were, you know, for self defense and for foraging and whatnot, it's a marvelous choice. And There are some, yeah, that's right, Yakima Glock. If they just made an AK and a Glock and a 22 Magnum, that's a damn fact right there. You're absolutely right. I would never have to own another gun. That is exactly the case right there. So, all right, let's get back over here and get to our stories here. All right, this was one of those happy ending type stories here. I don't know why these people. Well, an attempted robbery at a Boost mobile phone store in Franklin Township, Ohio. Well, he picked the wrong store. Believe it or not, there was a clerk in Ohio in a cell phone shop that had a gun. According to reports there, the suspect was armed with a weapon, wearing a mask when he attempted to rob the store about 7:30 p.m. That's a bad time to be robbing stores anyway at 7:30 at night. But anyway, clerk had a gun tucked away behind the corner, shot him, pronounced dead at the scene. End of story. Neighborhood residents say the area is rather quiet, and they're surprised to hear that the robbery and subsequent shooting. Authorities say investigation is ongoing. How many times have we gone over this? There's quiet neighborhoods. There's places, you know, they always say, well, I'm surprised it happened here. Well, of course we are. It doesn't happen in our neighborhood. It doesn't happen, you know, for years at a time. And then one day it does. And this is a quiet neighborhood, and they is not used to this kind of problem. Why did that clerk have a gun? Well, because he was smart. It's that once-in-a-lifetime event that he was able to quite possibly save his own life and maybe a customer or two, maybe a bystander, by having a gun in there. And I wish I could get that through people's heads. I don't go places where I expect I'm going to need a gun. I don't go there. If I knew I was going to run into trouble, I would take a rifle with me. I don't go places where I think I'm going to need a gun. But I still take one wherever I go, just in case. And that off chance, that one in a million chance that I happen to run across some weirdo out there, well, I'm going to have it with me anyway. I don't know what is going on with this computer. I'm really having a hard time talking and trying to keep things running here. I'm having just a little bit of trouble. I think what I'll do, since it's the bottom of the hour, I think what I'll do is play a quick song for you and see if I can get all this stuff resolved and close down some stuff here and make things better over the next 30 minutes here. All right, stand by with me just a second. I'll tell you what. Let's do this just for the heck of it.
Hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. So help me God. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution.
It never fails to surprise me that there are still vast lands of the United States literally uncultivated.
Well, it won't be this way long. Come the private airplane, people will start spreading around.
Wouldn't it be wonderful to be part of the new world?
Well, I don't think it will change as much as some people think.
Oh, but it must.
Why?
For too long we've had that laissez-faire attitude toward executive operation. We must educate ourselves to share the responsibilities as well as the advantages of citizenship.
Oh, I read that book, too. It certainly made an impression on you, what that writer had to say. But it's a lot of hooey. Fixing everybody up when they let out their first squawk. Giving them pointers on good government between bottle feedings. And teaching them in school to be good little ladies and gentlemen and not smack each other around.
Oh, it's very easy to make fun of everything.
Listen, Miss Clutch. Have you ever heard of some fellas who first came over to this country? You know what they found? They found a howling wilderness. With summers too hot and winters freezing. Did they have insurance for their old age, for their crops, for their homes? They did not. They looked at the land and the forests and the rivers. They looked at their wives, their kids, and their houses. And then they looked up at the sky and they said, "Thanks, God. We'll take it from here." They were rugged fellows. They were men.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
You know, last I heard on this pipeline deal with the Sioux Indians up there, one of the things that kind of bothers me on there, apparently they've got it on hold right now. A judge has got the construction of the pipeline on hold. There's a lot of things wrong with this. You know, I support the Sioux tribe and what they're doing. However, they've kind of gone about it the wrong way. They had 13 months that there was a comment period there, and not one of them said anything. No one showed up. There was another public deal where they were supposed to, and nobody showed up. Then when they start building the pipeline, then all of a sudden they're up in arms about it. So they've kind of brought this on themselves by not paying attention and doing. Maybe they thought they wasn't serious. I don't know what the deal was. But this is a long ways from being over. There, last I heard, there was over 4,000 people up there, 4,000 protesters. We talked about this the other day, so I'm not going to spend any time on it. The only thing I just found out there that they had this comment period that nobody commented. So, if nobody says anything, what do you expect? So, I don't know. We'll keep following that and see what it does. 2 days after returning from summer recess, Minnesota Congressman Keith Ellison introduced a bill to require colleges to publicly disclose if they allow guns on campus. Under the Campus Gun Policy Transparency Act, Ellison said the schools will disclose their gun policies on their websites and in promotional materials as a means for prospective students to make informed decisions about the safety of their college campuses. So we put safety ratings on our cars and warning labels on our medications, so it makes sense that we do the same for universities that allow guns on campus. What an idiot. Students have a right to know if their fellow students are bringing guns to class. Well, in the first place, if they have that policy, it doesn't mean that everybody, all their students are going to be bringing guns to class. The second place, whether you have a policy or not, doesn't necessarily mean that they're bringing the that they're not bringing guns to class. So, anyway. All right. There was a guy on one of my Facebook pages here that posted a video and asked my opinion of it. He got my opinion and also several others about it. And what it was did this guy go too far? I'm going to try to see if I can get the video up for you and put it on the chat room and talk about it. But I'm going to talk about it whether I get it on the chat room or not. But in this video, a guy had pulled up behind, guy pulled into a parking lot, and he was caught on the, apparently looked like in a apartment complex or something. Guy pulled in there, another guy pulled up right behind him. As soon as the guy pulled up behind him, evidently something had happened out on the street or something, and this guy got his panties in a wad, and the guy pulled up behind him, immediately got out, walked to the back of the car. That's the one that pulled up behind the other guy. Got out and walked to the back of the car and pulled a very hefty stick out of there. Looked like something out of Walking Tall. And walked up. Now there's a mistake right there. If something like this happens, you may not be the only one that's mad. You may not be the only one that's scared. You may not be the only one that's preparing to do something here. So he wasted a lot of time getting out of that car and walking to the back and grabbing his stick. But anyway, he grabbed the stick and walks to the other guy. And the other guy gets out of the car. About that time, I'll call him the aggressor, the one that pulled up in behind the other guy. We'll call him the victim. The aggressor went to swing at him. The guy ducked and he hit the car door, hit the car a couple of times, hit the windshield of the car, broke the windshield out in the car. And when the guy fell back in the seat, he got his gun. And by that time, a bystander had also walked up there. And the guy shot once or twice, I'm not sure. Okay, the guy with the stick backed up against the car quickly, turned to his right, dropped the stick, but didn't go down. He leaned over. Now, this is the point where everybody was having a problem with this. He leaned over pretty far, but he did not go down. And at that point, the victim, the guy with the gun, stepped out, leaned over the bystander, and shot the guy, apparently what it looked like, in the back of the head. Was that a righteous shoot? Well, I tell you what it looked like for me. It probably could have been done a little bit differently. The guy probably may have avoided the problem if he'd have simply stayed in the car and locked the door. Okay, did he have to do that? Not necessarily. Depends on the state. Probably not. But like I responded to this thing, what's right is not always what's legal, and what's legal is not always what's right. I've told you guys that before. So it's generally accepted. Now, the first shots absolutely were justified. And one guy said, well, he attacked the car. He hit the car. He didn't hit the guy. Well, that didn't make any damn difference. He was hitting the car that he was in. If a guy would have got out and been where he could, he'd have waylaid him with it. So the first two shots, one or two shots, were absolutely justified. No question about that in anybody's mind. What he didn't know at that point, I don't know what kind of ammunition he was using. I don't know if he knew what kind of ammunition he was using. He doesn't have any idea what kind of physical damage was done to the guy, or even if both shots even actually hit him. Obviously one did, or either that or it scared the guy so bad he turned around and bent over and almost puked and dropped the stick, one or the other. But at that point, he didn't know if the guy was going to pick up the stick again. He bent over, but he was still on his feet. And he was still on his feet after the guy got out and moved. Now, the victim was cornered. He was out. The car door was open. There was another car right beside him. It was close enough that you couldn't fit your body in between the car door and the other car while the door was open. So he was cornered in there and couldn't get away. If this guy would have just all of a sudden had a fit of rage that overcome the physical damage that was done by the bullet, there's every possibility that he was already bent over. There's every possibility that he could have reached down and grabbed that stick and continued his attack. So if the victim had decided, okay, well, I've shot him, he's going down, I'm going to reholster the gun, I'm going to put the gun back in the car, and what if the guy would have grabbed the stick and attacked him again? So you shoot always until the threat is eliminated, not until you think the guy might give up. Now remember, Amy learned this with that goat that attacked her that time, and she turned around and left, and the goat attacked her again from behind. Always do your after action. Always make sure that the threat is eliminated before you decide to call it quits, to walk away, to call 911, do whatever you're going to do. So it's trying to see what kilograms, and once you have a gun in the back of his head, it's not a threat at that point. That's what I was saying. It very well could have been a threat. If the guy was bent over, we couldn't see. Now, a couple of things we don't know about this. Number one, we couldn't see how bad the guy was hurt, or if he was indeed hurt, or if he just knew he was shot. We couldn't see if he'd bent over, if he was reaching for the stick that he dropped, in which case it would have justified another shot. We also didn't have the audio. That's a biggie right there. If the guy in the car, the victim, if he reaches for his gun and slings the door open and starts to get out and says, "You SOB, I'll kill you," then he was wrong, and he's toast in court. He has no leg to stand on. However, if he gets out about that time and says, "Please stop. Don't reach for that stick. Don't pick that stick up again," something like that, then he is perfectly justified. And so that's one without the audio and without being able to see all of the video. I mean, we saw the full length of the video, but we couldn't see it from the right angle to see if the guy that got shot was reaching for that stick or had just been over from being shot in the belly. So there could have been a lot of things. There could have been a lot of different ways for that to go. But either way, it appeared to be perfectly justified to me in the absence of audio. If I had audio, then I might change my mind on it. But from what I could see, it looked like it was perfectly justified. Again, probably it could have been done a little bit differently and possibly avoided shooting him at all. It could have been done a little bit differently and possibly avoided the follow-up shot which killed the guy. But we didn't see what the guy was doing when he bent over. And that's the problem with a whole lot of of armchair quarterbacking in a lot of these shooting cases. People don't have all the facts. They see what they see in a video, but they may not see the angle. There was an awesome video going out, a training video. I mean, it was a real scenario, a real guy, you know, with real bullets, real guns, real people. But they'd used it for training, and it was a guy that, if I remember right, it was on a sidewalk. The guy was running away, and as he turned with both hands up, it seems like maybe one of his partners that was right around the corner reached for his gun, pulled the gun out of the waistband of the guy that had his hands up. I can't remember exactly what happened. But anyway, until you saw the entire video and saw it in slow motion, you couldn't see that gun. And it looked like the cop committed cold-blooded murder. But when you watched it in slow motion, then... good night, Yakima Glock. Glad you could join us. Always glad to see you in there. So until you watched that in very slow motion, you couldn't see the gun that the guy had. And the cop was perfectly in the right for shooting him. So, anyway, that's the... I would encourage all of you, anytime you see any of this kind of stuff happening, before you make any comments on it that you might regret, or you might have to eat your words, double check everything. Look at it from every angle. Think about it. What would you do if you were in that place instead of just jumping all of a sudden? Oh well, I just shot the guy. I mean, he was in the wrong. He was going to attack the guy. Well, it's not always that obvious. There are many, 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 many times that there are other factors involved. Anything to include loud noises, other people that you can't see in the video, kids, hostages, drugs and alcohol, lights. You know, there's a great many things that could alter alter someone's decision in what they do, both good and bad. You know, the good guy and the bad guy, the aggressor and the victim, the cop and the robber, you know, the cop and the bad guy, whatever. So take a little bit and analyze that a little before you get in over your head with comments, and check and make sure that you are doing the right thing, they're saying the right thing. Okay, well, I'm going to start easing towards the door here. I tell you what I'm going to, if I got time, no, I don't really have time to do that. We're a little bit early, but we'll just have to be a little bit early. I finished up my last story that I had saved, and that's going to be the end of that. So we'll see you Wednesday. We're going to have a number of gun things to talk about Wednesday night in the second hour. And hopefully we're gonna talk about some of the survival aspects of different types of guns and whatnot. And we may start doing again. I want to see a show of hands. I want to see some comments in the chat room tonight and over the next few days here. I want to see if I can get. Hang on. Goodness, that snuck up on me. So, Kilogram, you were late, so you don't have anything to... You have no room to complain there. You need to be here on time. I want to find out if everybody wants to go back and do what we did a long time ago. A lot of you probably don't even remember it. That's all right, Kilogram. I'm just joking. You know better. Some of you don't even remember it. I know Kilogram was still around when we did it, and Mountain Shooter was around. Snowman was not here. But we used to do this cartridge of the week, where we'd pick a different cartridge and talk about it. This was a long time. The last time we did that was 6 years ago, 5 years ago. Early 2011 was the last time that we did that. So you're welcome, Snowman. If you have any more, feel free. If I can answer it, I'll be glad to. So if you guys are interested in doing that again, obviously we're going to go through some of the calibers that we went through before. Obviously, we have some new listeners that didn't hear any of that. So some of you may have heard some of them, and others may not have. So I'm going to try to get a run a little poll here and see if you guys want to do that. And for those of you that are not in the chat room, if you hear it on the get this on the podcast or on the archives, I would love for you to weigh in on this. You can either drop into the chat room and leave a comment during the show, or just send me an email at theshootingbench@live.com and let me know if you think you'd like to do that again. It was a lot of fun, and we spent quite a bit of time on each caliber. We only did one gun per week, and it would be in our second hour, probably the second hour on Wednesday. Wednesdays may wind up to be more of a gun deal than just the second hour. We'll see how that turns out. I know if it was up to Mountain Shooter, we'd talk about guns all the time, but we'd run out of stuff to talk about after a while. But, well, not really, because there's always new stuff. We talked about guns, you know, when the Shooting Bench first started, we talked about guns constantly for I don't know how long. And over a period of years, you know, some of that stuff can be repeated again. And that's going to be the case here as we start, if we start doing the cartridge of the month again, or cartridge of the week. So let me know. I'm going to scoot on out of here. Let me know if you think that'll work for you. And if not, well, we won't do it. So we'll see you Wednesday night. Thanks for joining me. Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No reconciliation. No, let's talk it up.